Please join me in Gassho. The light of wisdom exceeds all measure, and every finite living being receives this illumination that is like the dawn. So take refuge. Wonderful. Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you with us this morning on this occasion of our pet and plant memorial. This pet and plant memorial is a wonderful opportunity for us to reflect upon our connection with all living beings. I think oftentimes as human beings, we tend to focus on life in the human world, and living with a pet or caring for a plant can help us to appreciate that life goes beyond just my individual life. So this service is an opportunity for us to reflect upon the way in which we see the world and how we aspire to see the world illuminated by the light of wisdom. These words from Shindan Shonin that I read at the start of my talk, they describe how every finite living being, not just humans, not just me, but being receives this light of wisdom. And just as light nourishes plants and serves as the really the foundation for life in this world, in this physical world, the light of wisdom nourishes our hearts and minds and helps us to see the world from a more true and correct perspective and to see our lives as they really are. And in many ways, living with a pet can be a wonderful support, or again, caring for a plant in that journey. So in the slides, we saw many different pets. Today, I want to talk about one of those animals, one of the pets that was on the slide, the photos offered by my family, and that was a black lab. Did anyone notice there was a black lab on that first photo? It's a black lab is a kind of a big black dog. So that dog's name was Susie, and that Susie is my grandmother's dog. My grandmother lives by herself. She's over 90 years old. She lives alone on a farm down in Iowa, and up until just a few months, living with her there on that farm. And Susie lived with her for many years. A few years ago, when my grandmother celebrated her 88th birthday, Susie also celebrated her 88th birthday in dog years, right? So 88 years old. So she was a long dog. She lived a long lived dog. She lived for over 10 years. Right? She had a long and I remember when my grandmother first got Susie and the first time we went to visit my grandmother down on her farm in Iowa. I remember, dog Susie, Because Susie was very, very energetic. Was very energetic. And to give you an example of how Susie would behave, I wanted to tell you about the first time that my wife Shoko visited my grandmother on her farm. This was, she had come, this wasn't her first visit to the United States, but was her first time coming to visit my family in Minnesota. And then we drove down to Iowa and, you know, we arrived. And then as we drove up, we did what we always did, which was look out for Susie. Because Susie would get to run free and wild on the farm. So she just could just run wherever she wanted. It's a big farm, middle of Iowa, and she would run free. And so, of course, as we were driving up the long, steep driveway, we wanted to be careful. Of course, we didn't want to, you know, hit Susie with the car or, you know, injure her in any way. But also, as we pulled up and when we parked the car, we had to look around and say, where is Susie? Is Susie tied up or is she free? And we never knew for sure if she was tied up to her chain or if she was running free until we stepped out of the car, because she would wait until we opened up the car door, and then she would come bounding out from under a bush or behind a tree. She'd come bounding out at full speed, and the first thing she would do to greet you was jump up on you with both paws and jump and jump and jump. Now, Susie, as I mentioned, lived free on the farm. So how clean do you think her paws were, right? On a rainy day, that first day that Shoko arrived to visit my grandmother at the farm, this was in the summer. It was in August. You know, August in California is very dry, but in the Midwest, it's wet. The summer, it rains a lot. And it had been raining. It was muddy. And Susie's muddy paws jumping up all over my girlfriend, who, you know, probably somewhere in my mind at that point, I thought, well, I'm taking her to meet my grandparents and my parents. One day, this is going to be my wife. Very, very important to me. And all of a sudden, her nice, clean clothes, of course, traveling. She didn't bring a suitcase full of clothes. She just brought, you know, the changes she would need. But one whole outfit now was covered with Susie's muddy paws, right? And Shoko, of course, being very gracious, she laughed and, you know, she smiled about it, and she likes dogs, so she was very happy. But, you know, my parents and I, we were mortified. We were so embarrassed because this dog was jumping all over her, right? And this was the kind of dog Susie was. She just kind of did her own thing. She ran around, and every time we drove up, where is Susie? Where is Susie? And how are we going to keep her from jumping all over us? When we left the house in Minnesota for the 5-hour drive down to Iowa, we would always think, okay, when we get there, Susie's going to jump all over us with her muddy paws. So we got to think about what we're going to wear, right? So that we wouldn't have to, you know, have our nice clothes get dirty. And so, you know, Susie was this kind of dog. And so, you know, if I'm going to be totally honest, you know, I wasn't always delighted to see her come bounding out of the bushes, right? Thinking, oh no, what am I wearing? Oh, I'm going to get all dirty. I'm going to get all muddy. She's going to knock me over. I've got all my suitcase and things, and she's jumping all over me, right? And so, you know, we had a certain way of thinking about Susie. One evening, that our whole way of thinking about Susie changed completely. Because Susie, she lived with my parents, and when my grandfather was in his later years, he had a disease called Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is also, it's a kind of dementia. It's a disease that affects people's brains, right? And people start to forget things. They start to repeat themselves, right? But gradually, people who have this disease, it damages the brain, so they're not able to do even physical things that they used to do. Now, my grandfather had lived on this farm his whole life. He lived with my grandmother. He was very happy on the farm. He was very comfortable. When one of his favorite things to do was to sit and rest in his to watch the country music network on television, to watch country music and to relax, and to be there with Susie, who would lie on the floor like this, right? She would stretch out on her back you know, with her legs spread out in every direction, totally comfortable. And so my grandparents were living together here with Susie. And we wanted to keep my grandfather there at home with his dog, you know, in his company as long as possible. And one night, late at night, Susie woke up my grandma in the middle of the night. Woof, 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 woof. She was barking frantically, much louder than she would ever normally bark. It was the middle of the night. See, Susie would sleep at the foot of their bed, right? Some dogs do this, right? She would sleep at the foot of their bed. And what had happened was my grandfather, we don't know if he had gotten up in the middle of the night or if he had rolled out of bed, but he had fallen. He was lying on the floor and he was unable to get himself up. And my grandmother didn't hear. She didn't notice. And it was Susie's barking that woke her up, right? And so immediately she called my uncles. They called, you know, the paramedics. They came and, you know, they were able to get medical care for my grandfather. You know, the medical staff said it's good that we were able to come when we did, because if he had laid there on the floor for a long period of time, he could have had a very serious injury, right? And so in that moment, Susie, in that instant of barking and waking up my grandmother, went from dumb, annoying dog to family hero. And after that, my mother said, my father said, we will never say a bad word about Susie again, right? And Susie's status in the family suddenly became from, oh, this kind of pesky animal that we put up with, to someone who was very important. And as the years went on, Susie became more and more important, because my grandfather eventually had to go and live in an assisted living facility. And then in time, he crossed over to the other shore, and my grandmother living by herself on this farm where she still lives now. For all of those years, she had this companion, Susie. And as Susie aged, Susie became, right, closer and closer to my grandmother, right? They celebrated their 88th birthday together. Susie would be there and would help my grandmother to get up, get out, you know, move around the house. It was because of Susie that she would get up in the morning, take Susie out, that, you know, different times of the day she would have to go outside and she would have to move around, which, right? And so if we think about this relationship with Susie, to me, it helped our family to think in a totally different way about this animal, right? From thinking about it as something that was just sort of annoying and inconvenient, to recognizing how important this living being was to all of our lives. And so this way of coming to see the world, this attitude of appreciation, of gratitude for the lives that we live together, this is at the heart of the Nembutsu. We say the words Namo Amida Butsu out of appreciation for seeing the world illuminated by the wisdom and compassion of Amida Buddha. This light of the Buddha's wisdom always shining on us, reminding us that we are embraced by the kindness and compassion of all living beings in each moment, that the Buddha is constantly guiding us to understand, to be careful, our own. So any difficult situation that we face in our lives, any challenge, any annoyance, can be transformed when we view that situation through the light of wisdom, through the lens of gratitude, right? In the most basic sense, this shift in perspective occurs with regard to our own lives, kind of a me-centered way of thinking. But at times, right, we can come to see that all lives are illuminated by this wisdom of the Buddha. So we come to that understanding. through our pets and our plants. And so there are times when I get really frustrated when things are not going as I wish. You know, one example would have been when that Susie dog came running out at me when I'd just been riding in the car for 5 hours. I just wanted to rest. I don't want to have a dog jumping all over me, right? But there are all kinds of things, especially now, today, more than any other time in my life, I feel like things are not going according to plan, right? The wildfires keep continuing to affect our community. They continue to burn. Many of our fellow residents here in California and up and down the West Coast and the Western states are losing their homes and experiencing great difficulty. You know, for us here in San Mateo, there might be 3 or 4 days when we can't really go outside to go for a walk or to go play because the air quality is so bad. We're seeing this spike in coronavirus cases, COVID-19, all over the country. Even very important and prominent people in our country are starting to get infected with this disease. And when I look at this from my own perspective, I think, see, you know, that person would never wear a mask when I saw them on TV. Of course they got, you know, COVID-19, right? And, you know, that way of thinking, that, see, oh, I was right, they were wrong. In that moment, I've completely lost sight of the light of the Buddha's wisdom, which shines and says, we're all living in this together, every single human being. Every living being embraced by this light, a cause for concern. Now let me look at my own life, my own way of thinking, and I have my own areas where I need to see the light of the wisdom, not to be concerned about blaming others, but to look into my own life. How are there ways in which I can shift my perspective to live not a life of annoyance, irritation, the suffering that we've been talking about lately that comes from attaching to me and mine, but the life of gratitude that awakens from seeing this world illuminated by the wisdom of Amida Buddha's compassion, right? So viewed in the light of the Nembutsu, this life, which is indeed filled with much suffering and disappointment, as a result of the things that we have done, the things that we haven't done in our lives, this life, which can be so difficult, is a precious opportunity to hear the Dharma, to appreciate the connections that we have with one another as people and with all living beings. So today, as I remember my grandmother's beloved companion, the hero of our family, Susie the dog, each precious encounter my lifetime. It might just be that beautiful bird that sits on a tree outside my house. It might be the praying mantis that I see and say, what a rare and special opportunity to appreciate that we are alive here together in this world. So when I think about Susie now jumping up on me with those muddy paws, today I recall a warm welcome from a member of the deeply for others, and who found great joy in the sense of togetherness. And so in this way, I find that truly the light of the Buddha's wisdom is in our relationship with our pets, in the caring for the plants that make our lives so warm and beautiful. And so in this spirit, I'm delighted to remember our pets and plants today at this service. And I'd like to conclude this wisdom of Shinran Shoni. Please join me in Gassho. The light of wisdom exceeds all measure, and every finite living being receives this illumination that is like the dawn. So take refuge in Amida, the true and real light.
Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo.